when life is such a mix of good and bad, and there are so many options on how to make decisions, so many potential ways you could move forward, what's the best way to go and how do you work that out? And I believe the Bible, what we've just read, gives answers to that big question and to individual questions, particular questions that face us as we go through life. The Bible's given to us to bless us. It's a gift to help us. And the main way it helps us is it tells us the truth about ourselves and about God and about the world we live in. It tells us about our purpose and our destiny. It's a book of blessing. So if you ask the question, how can I be blessed by the Bible? The answer is very simple. Do it. Just do it, as one company worked out. Now, if you'd like to follow what I'm going to say, there's an outline inside or at the back of Contact. Somewhere in Contact, there is an outline of what I'm going to say. So the key point in doing life well is do what the Bible says. It's a book of blessing, and if you want to experience the blessing God has for you, then you've got to live God's way. Do it the way He directs, which we get from His Word, the Bible. Now that's the emphasis in this last section of the first chapter of James, one of the earliest bits of the New Testament that was written, and I'd like to look at that together. Charles, if you wouldn't mind putting up just the first few verses, which includes verse 21. The first thing I must do to experience the blessing of the Bible is I must accept it. That's the first gap there, if you like filling in gaps. I must accept God's word if I'm going to be blessed. Verse 21 says, humbly accept the word planted in you. The word that has been planted in you is the message about Jesus. It was this message that changed the early church, changed or created the early church, changed the people that James was first writing to. The message about Jesus completely and radically changed them. And when that word, that message is planted in us today, it changes us. But the writer says you have to accept this word if you want to be blessed. That means to welcome it, to believe it, to receive it. And he says it's this word that can save you. He's talking here about hearing the gospel, hearing about Jesus, believing it, and accepting Jesus. It's what's called becoming a Christian, becoming a believer, getting converted. It's the beginning of the relationship with God that opens the door to the blessings that God wants to give human beings. Now, it may be, for many of you here this morning, that that word about Jesus was planted in you a long time ago and you've accepted it. It may be that it's happened more recently. At this church, every single week, we are trying to plant the word about Jesus in people. Consequently, as you've heard during the announcements, there are lots of groups that are starting this week. We're not interested in running groups. We're interested in telling people about Jesus. So all the groups that we're doing, young girls groups and boys groups and women's breakfasts and rotating dinners, surrounding them is the hope and prayer that through these groups, people will hear the word about Jesus and it will be planted in them. I know many of you over this recent summer have been planting the word in beach missions and conferences. Many of you do this privately in your own friendship networks at home or through your work or through your voluntary associations. The reason we do this as a church and you do that as individuals is we want other people to experience the blessing of having God in their life, don't we? We don't want them to miss out on that because we know what a difference it makes. That's why we go around trying to help people begin this relationship with God. Now, if you're here this morning, and I know there are some of you here this morning who haven't begun this relationship yet, this morning is another opportunity to hear the word about Jesus and accept it, humbly accept it, because it can save you. And if you'd like to do that, all you need do to start off is just say, Jesus, I'd like to get to know you. Please help me. You could do that by yourself, or you could come and talk to me, or you could talk to a friend who might have been here at church this morning, or someone you know who believes in Jesus. It may be that you'd like to join us on a course to find out about Christianity before you can make that statement. Well, later in the year we'll be running an Alpha course where you can come and find out about who this Jesus is. Accepting this word is only the beginning. And a lot of people do that. There'll be people all around the world today accepting the word about Jesus for the very first time, and their lives will change as they experience the blessing of God in their life. But it's only a start. And the emphasis in the rest of the passage is, what do you do after that? Once you begin this relationship with God and you accept Jesus, the next stage is a very, very important stage. And this is where everyone here this morning who's accepted the word about Jesus, you need to tune in again. Don't tune out because you became a Christian 50 years ago or something. Tune back in, okay? Redial. Back with me. Okay. Charles, could you put the next screen up with verse that has verse 22 in it? I'm not sure which one it is. So if you're filling in gaps, the next point, point two, is I must obey God's word if I'm going to be blessed. Those of you with a long enough memory will see the two gaps say accept and obey. That'll start you singing, won't it? I must obey God's word if I'm going to be blessed. Verse 22, do not merely listen to what the word says and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. And then he gives an illustration of someone looking in a mirror. Works like this. Imagine it's morning, you get dressed, ready for the day, you check yourself in the mirror, you realise your hair is a mess, you go and have breakfast, and then you leave the house forgetting to comb your hair. Looking in the mirror was a complete waste of time. Verse 23 and 24. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at their face in a mirror and after looking goes away and immediately forgets what they look like. It's a complete and utter waste of time if you read God's word and don't do it. I looked in the mirror one of the mornings of January, realised I needed a shave before I went to work, had breakfast, made a phone call, went to work. It wasn't until about 10:30 that I thought, I haven't shaved. What a waste of time. What a fool I was. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is deceiving themselves, fooling themselves. James says it's self-deception. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say as a church, you decide to take a real interest in my health. And you send the church wardens to me who say, Peter, we don't want you running out of puff. We want you to stay fit. So we've taken up an offering around the church and we've got a present for you. And you give me the complete Arnold Schwarzenegger encyclopedia of bodybuilding. And you tell me, this book will revolutionise my marriage, will change my life. Millions of people have been helped by this book. And there it is. And I say, isn't that great? Fantastic. And I go away for 6 months and then I come back and you look at me and there's the same amount of me in the same proportions and I obviously haven't done a thing with the book. And you say, what happened? What did you do? And I said, it was a fantastic book. I read it and I reread it. I got so excited by some of the things in it, I took out some highlighter pens and I highlighted bits of it. I discovered there are other people in my area reading this book, so I joined a little group during the week and we read it together and we talked about it. And then I found there were words I didn't really understand, so I went down to the local bookshop and I found you could buy books that explain the etymology of bodybuilding words. like dumbbell. So I bought one of those books. And I've started underlining that as well. What a fool. I was deceiving myself, wasn't I? Complete waste of time. The question is, how often do we do that with the Word of God? Here, folks, here's a book that's changing lives all around the world. It'll be a blessing to you. Take it. Do it. Don't just read it. Of course you've got to read it, but do it. When I preach, I put a lot of effort into making things understandable. Because I want you to understand what you're reading, not just so it's understandable, but so you know what to do with it. Because understanding is simply a cognitive or mental exercise. You've then got to take what you've learnt and put it into practice. And all the preachers who preach at St Alfred's think long and hard about how do we apply this bit of scripture to today. You know, it was written a long time ago, so what difference does it make now in reality and in practice? We want you to do something with what you hear, not just read it and close the book. Did you hear about the man who came late to church? He walked in just as the service was about to end and he said quietly to one of the ushers, "Is the sermon done yet?" The usher very wisely said, "The sermon has been preached, but it hasn't been done yet." James emphasises this in verse 25 where he says, "The person who looks intently into the perfect law," that's another way of describing the Bible, I think, who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, continues to look intently, to examine and study, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, what happens? This person will be blessed in their doing. There's the key repeated for you for about the third time. You've got to do it to actually experience God's blessing. So certainly look intently into it, read it, study it, go to your small groups, discuss it, but don't just leave it there. You've actually got to put it into practice to experience the blessing. Rick Warren is a leader of a large church in the States, and he has 9 questions that you can ask when reading the Bible. You might like to look at your outline, because the 9 questions spell an unusual acronym. The acronym is Space Pets. He's hoping that's rememberable because it's so unusual. So as you're reading scripture, you might ask these sorts of questions. S, is there a sin I need to confess? P, is there a promise to claim? There are over 7,000 promises in the Bible. A, is there an attitude to change? C, is there a command to obey? E, is there an example to follow? P, is there a prayer to pray? There are lots of prayers in the Bible. You can take those and pray them for yourself and for others. E, is there an error to be avoided? T, is there a truth to believe? And S, doesn't quite work, but is there something to thank God for? Space pets. Action things that you can do after reading. That's just one method for finding out what God might want you to do. So you could read the Bible with questions like those in mind, and then listen to what God says, and then do it. As an example, let's just look at some of the other verses in today's reading to see other things that you could do just from this little section. Charles, if you wouldn't mind putting the last slide up. So there are 5 examples in today's reading, some from the first bit, some from the last bit of the reading, of things to do. I'll try and read them slowly. They're also printed in your outline, just to allow you to reflect on how well you're doing these things. From verses 19 and 20. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because anger doesn't achieve the godly life that God desires. There's one to work on for the rest of the year, isn't it? Second, verse 21, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Verse 26, keep a tight rein on your tongue. Verse 27, look after orphans and widows in their distress. also in verse 27, keep yourself from being polluted by the world. Now, if you were to put all five of those into practice, you would be a considerate, calm, controlled, compassionate human being. What a blessing you would be to others, and you would experience God's blessing as you were that person, wouldn't you? Now, some of those exhortations might require a little bit of thinking about as to what they might mean in this day and age, but some are very straightforward. Keep a tight rein on your tongue. James will come back to some of these later, so I'm not going to unpack them too much, but he'll be looking at these in the next couple of chapters. So if you're not in the habit of reading the Bible, I urge you to begin today. It won't help you by staying dusty on your shelves. Take it down, open it and read it. This is why we read the Bible here at church every Sunday, and why I encourage small groups to be doing it during the week. If you're in the habit of reading the Bible, I urge you to do it. Put it into practice and experience God's blessing in your life as you live the way God wants you to live, and your life is consistent with your beliefs. I'd like to pray for us as we try and do that. Sounds easy, but each time God fingers something he wants us to do, there's often a little bit of struggle inside us as we resist. Dear God, we thank you that you are such a kind and good God to us, that you don't leave us in any doubt about how you want us to live, that you want us to experience all the good there is in life, all the grace and forgiveness, the deep relationships, the love, the friendliness, the helpfulness that we can experience. You want us to experience that, and you want us to be part of that. You want us to exhibit the godly character that we see in Jesus. So I pray by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would work in each of us so that as we read your word, you would by your Spirit convict us, strengthen us, and help us to grow up so that we might have the courage and the strength and the perseverance to do whatever it is you want us to do. Please change us in those areas that we know don't please you. Please help us in those areas that we're weak in. Please forgive us in those areas where we let you and ourselves down. Please grow your people here at this church that we might encourage one another in this. So we realise we're not doing this on our own, but we're part of a community of people who really want to live the way you want us to live. And may we know the deep joy that comes from that. In Jesus' name. Amen.